telling you, that's a great sight. They are making their way over to the gymnasium to spend time with two of our missionaries. The Northcutts and the Florences are going to be spending time with them tonight. And we're excited about this. And asking the Lord to speak to the kids over there. That's a good thing. Very good. Appreciate you having your children here. And asking God to get a hold of them little ones. No doubt about that. It's good to have somebody that's, we don't know him too well around here, but all of this. No, it's good to have Stephen and Leslie with us, his new bride, all of that. We're so happy for you folks. He's going to be preaching for us here, and then he'll be spending some time with the children tomorrow night. They will not be here Sunday because I've told him, I said, listen, we don't like you. No, I'm just kidding about that. But I want him to get out and try to get some more support at this time. So I didn't want to tie him up on a Sunday. So he's going to be here and his wife for the next two nights. And Stephen, we love you. Honor to support you. You come right ahead and preach for us, sir. Be sure.
Exciting for us to be here. We love being back home and everything. It's a wonderful thing to be able to always come back. And the sad thing is this is probably going to be one of the last times we are here for quite a while. Our schedule's filling up, and obviously our job is to raise support and be out doing that, and the Lord is just providing, and we're loving deputation together. It's like, you know, you have hundreds of brothers and sisters all around America and different parts of America, and every week you get to go meet a few more of them, you know, and it's just like, man, it's a neat thing to get to do that and do it together, and we're just loving it. Now, we are missionaries to Chile, as you all know, and, you know, before I ever went to Chile the first time, I didn't really know anything about it besides the fact that those miners got rescued that time in 2010. How many of you all actually watched that rescue when it happened at that time? Yeah. Oh, wow, a bunch of you. Okay, wow. So we were all sitting around our televisions that day, right? And so I was watching it, too, and it was so exciting because every time one of them would come up, they would do their Chilean cheer. And they would, when they do something good in Chile, they say the first three letters of Chile's name, then they say the last two letters of Chile's name, then they say, long live Chile, and they get all excited. So they'll say, chi, 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 le, 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 viva Chile, and they'll get all excited, and they'll cheer. And man, every time somebody came to the top, they cheered like that. And that was a neat human interest story, wasn't it? Well, I was watching that at that time, but honestly, at the time, I didn't think I'd have any connection to this country beyond that because I was going to East Tennessee State. I was going into broadcasting, and I was wanting to get into politics from there and different things like that. And one day, I was going to be president of the United States. Like, that was, I was going to put Johnson City on the map, people. I really was. I watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I did all the things like that, read the books. I was like, yes, I'm going to shake that place up, right? But then about a year after that, 2011, I was about 20 years old, and God began to get a hold of my heart with this thought about what I was doing with my life and about having a relationship with Christ that meant more than just being saved, but that meant walking with Jesus every day to where one day when I died, I would actually go to heaven and run into my Savior's arms having something to show for my life, having known Jesus here on this earth. And man, I got to thinking, Stephen, if you died within the next year, what does your life mean? What have you done that matters for eternity? And because I was kind of just this lukewarm state, you know, this not really fully in sin or anything like that by any means, but not fully living in the victory that Christ offers us. And the sad thing is that so often we find ourselves in this position. So often we find ourselves in this lukewarm state, just kind of going through the Christian motions, even sometimes showing up to church three times a week as I was, and things like that. But God just began to press on my heart about reading His Word, and I'm telling you that God will do such great things when you're reading His Word and show you so many things, and then praying, and pastor was always talking about witnessing, just always talking about it and stuff, and finally I decided maybe I ought to do that, you know? And so I started doing that, and God just gave me such a love for doing that, and there came a point where I just knew that this, what you're wanting to do with the whole president thing, is just not really where God wants you at this point, you know what I'm saying? It was like, God wants you serving Him full time, because see, I could become president of the United States and do all these great things, and then the person right after me could come and change everything that I did. But anything done for eternity and any soul reached for Christ can never be undone and can never be untouched. And I was reading Shadow of the Almighty, and it's a great book, and I just thought those martyrs that died in Ecuador, like, that is a life that matters, you know? I mean, not that other lives don't matter, but I just thought, man, that is a life that counts, you know? Went to Bible college, came back, and then when we got to go to Chile, I wanted to go the first time, and to be truthful with you, and I got to go back as an intern, and you all know that, but I never really wanted to go to Chile full-time as a missionary, even though I loved Spanish-speaking people. I loved all that. But if you look at Chile, and I hope you'll get our new prayer card back there on the table. We have our new ones in, by the way, and I know you all are praying for us, and we appreciate that so much. But if you look at Chile on a map of South America, and I've got it outlined here, you can see down the side of it, it's kind of just like this string hanging off the side of the country, or the continent. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is Chile here. You can barely kind of see it. And I thought, man, if I go to a church and present a burden, I'm like, I want a country. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to reach the millions untold, you know? And I was like, a string just doesn't convey that, you know? But those of you who have been to Chile know how big Santiago alone is with its 7 million people and then the coastal cities with their million. And that was a ridiculous reason. But the second reason, I'd heard they speak bad Spanish. And I, by this time, I spoke enough Spanish, and I thought, why do I want to go to a country where they can't hardly speak the language? And I can go to any one of these other ones, and they speak it fine, you know? And I began to realize when I was there at that 6 months that it wasn't that they spoke bad Spanish. They speak bad Spanish the way we in the South speak bad English, you know? It's like, we know that y'all is a word, and ain't is a word, and you can say any bad thing about somebody as long as you say bless their heart right after you say it. And it was like that, you know? It was like they had their own stuff. My friend John Moncada, and some of y'all have heard me use this word, he said in Chile we say pull, P-O. I said, what is pull? He said it doesn't really have a meaning. So instead of pull, si, we'll sometimes say si, pull. Instead of no, we'll say no, pull. I said, I'm not going to say that word because I don't want these bad habits. And like 2 weeks later, it was like si, pull, que pasa, pull, and all these pulls. And by the time I left, they said, oh, he's abusing the pull. And so I love their language. They have said a word, fome. It just means boring, and I just love that word. And so God just gave me such a love for the people and the language and came back to Georgia because I knew I was going to Vision Baptist Missions where our dear friend Brother Tolson that preached here last night, he's also up there with us and everything. He's been a wonderful blessing and help to Leslie and myself. But went there and, you know, went there and I was just doing what I was needing to do and stuff. And while I was there, they set me up on this date with somebody. And so I went with this girl, and, you know, we really didn't hit it off all that great. And so then I found out, I was like, you know, who, this was not Leslie, by the way. And then, so I said to my director, Jeff Bush, I said, Jeff, I said, I really like Leslie Pike is who I'm interested in. He's like, oh, go for her. She's a great girl. And I was like, well, then why don't you try that the first time, you know, and stuff. So seemed to love the Lord, and we just really hit it off, and she was trained to be a missionary there as well, and she said, Stephen, I'll go anywhere my husband wants to go, but if I could choose, I would go to a Spanish-speaking country because she'd been to Panama and Costa Rica and things like that, and she was like, I just love their culture and love all of that, and I said, well, I have the perfect country for you. So we really hit it off, got engaged in October, got married in January, and we were just loving being together on deputation, and we try to keep it fresh and exciting. I've heard a lot about the goats and that we posted on Facebook, and the goats were awesome. But we just try to keep it fun. But at the same time, God is just blessing so much and just showing himself so strong. We had a big thing come up last month, and he just provided for us in such an amazing way. And we just appreciate that, and we appreciate all of you all. We truly do, and how supportive you all are of us, and that we have a home church that just really loves us and cares about us, and we know is praying for us because we hear from you and different things like that. Just a wonderful thing to be able to come back here. If you'll turn your Bibles with you to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I want to speak tonight about a certain group of people, and history has shown that this group of people is a resilient group of people. We see them in every time period of history. We see them go to war, and we see them make financial decisions. We see them play games and do different things, and these are all people who lose something. And we all know what it's like to lose something. How many of y'all have ever lost something, be it car keys at the worst times, jewelry, whatever it may be? We've all lost something, and we know what it is to lose something. And Jesus here is telling us about a certain type of loss, and I want to talk about two types of loss tonight in the time I have. The first type is those Christians who lose their lives for Christ's sake. You know, here in the scriptures, he's talking about he that loves his life and he that finds his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And in here in Gray, Tennessee, we're probably not going to be called upon to literally die for Jesus Christ. I mean, let's face it, unless something drastically changes, we're probably going to be safe here in Tennessee, right? But we are each called upon to give Jesus Christ everything that we have. We are called to be all in the battle with Him. There is no middle ground with God. I spoke earlier about this lukewarm state, and the sad thing is that so many Christians live that way and do not experience the victory that Christ has for them. But there is no, I'm going to be in it as long as things are going good, and I'm going to be out whenever things are going tough. We are to be all there for Jesus Christ. And this church, our church, when it comes together, it is a team that has, and a body that has decided to fulfill the Great Commission and to do what Christ has commanded us. And isn't it a beautiful thing when the whole church comes together in one accord and it is going forward with every member giving it their all? I mean, I look at what you all did for us tonight by feeding us, and we just thank you all so much for that. And putting all of this together and things like that, I mean, that required somebody giving of their time and giving their best and doing what God has given them to do. And man, it's a great thing when Jesus Christ, or not when Jesus, I'm sorry, when the church comes together to give their all for Jesus Christ. You know, I'm not sure how God is working in your heart regarding service to Him, because there's, in a church our size and everything, I'm sure there are ministries that need people in it. There are things that can be done that God maybe is putting it in your heart to do. God is maybe saying to you, maybe before even this missions conference, maybe even a little while back, like, you know, you could fulfill that ministry. I have equipped you to do that thing. And He may be wanting you to do something like that. And I urge you, if He's doing that, to give your all for Him. You know, sometimes it's scary. It's like we stand here and we think, man, God, maybe you want me to do this thing. And it's like, man, I'm wanting to dive in and do it, you know. But then there's all these doubts in our mind. You know, there's all this or but that, you know. It's like when the 10 spies went into the land and they came back and 10 of, or 12 spies, I'm sorry, and they came back and 10 of them said, we have all the promises of God, but there are giants in the land. But there is this and that. And yet I find in my own life so many times, I have all the promises of God, but this or that. But I believe, along with Caleb, you know, when he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And I believe that when we take that first step of faith, that God will help us to take the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. Until at some point when we are going by faith, living for Him, giving our all for Him, we end up all the way over here and we look back at our lives and we say, I don't really know how I got here, but I know that Jesus led me all the way. And I know that He was with me. And I'm telling you, when you give God your life, and He can do so much with your life. If you're here tonight, you're a teenager or whatever you may be, He can do so much with your life. And I'm telling you, when you give it to Him, He will excel your wildest dreams. I mean, I was mentioning earlier about being president, and yeah, we got a laugh out of that. And I really believed I could do it. But to tell you the truth, I am more happy today than I could ever be doing that, or I could ever be addressing the halls of Congress. I would much rather be here or in all the wonderful churches we get to go to each week. But it will cost us something. I mean, obviously, when we give our all for Jesus Christ, we are giving up something that this world has to offer. But what this world has to offer in the end is truly just junk. The things that people were fighting about 10 years ago, they're going for 10 bucks in a yard sale today. But the sad thing is that so many times we find ourselves fighting over those very things or thinking so much about those very things that are going to perish. When I think of somebody who gave everything he had besides Jesus, I think of Paul. Somebody who had it all. I mean, he didn't have to do what he did and all these different things. And yet, what did he say in Philippians 3:7? What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I want to know Jesus Christ so much that I'll give up whatever it takes to know Him and to serve Him. And when we do that, God will take this church forward in so many amazing ways. You may think, Stephen, I can't get up and play the piano like Miss Brawler, and I can't get up here and preach, and I can't do this and that, but this team does need you. And God can use each and every single individual in here. I mean, there's not a single one of us that can't write an encouraging letter to somebody. There's not a single one of us that can't say, I'm praying for you. There's somebody that I know, they email us all the time saying they're praying for us and thinking about us. And that's just an absolute blessing. And anybody can do that, you know? That doesn't require some special talent or anything like that. But God wants to use you, and God can use you. And then I think of this. I think of, when we think of somebody who gave his all, we think of Paul, but then we also think of somebody, Demas. And what does the Bible say about Demas? Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas loved this present world as so many Christians do, and he forsook his own friend and left him as he did. And I think, Stephen, if you live selfishly for yourself, what person are you going to hurt by doing that? What Chilean is not going to hear the gospel that should be hearing the gospel because of that? And I ask that of each of us. If we live selfishly for ourselves, what person will not receive the gospel that should be receiving it? What person will not receive a blessing through our life that should be receiving it? We must be all there for Christ. But the next type of incredible loss, and this is the greatest loss ever, is the loss of the soul. And that's what we're here talking about, missions and things like that. And people need the Lord, and amen, yes they do. The greatest loss ever is the loss of the soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you'll go with me to Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. So many people are living their lives with no thought of what is tomorrow, no thought of what is to come. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so many people are like this man, laying up treasures for themselves, thinking to themselves, not knowing that this very night their soul will be required of them. Today, somebody woke up, possibly in this area, not knowing that today their soul would be required of them. Today, somebody in Chile woke up not knowing their soul would be required of them. Somebody in China, somebody in New Guinea, and many other places around the world. And that's so sad because so many of them have not heard the gospel and do not have the gospel and have no idea of what is to come. And Christian, that can happen to us, but we must be urgent about the task that is at hand. Because people need the Lord and they are dying every day. And we hear that. One of the things that really broke my heart in Chile when we were there the first time as a group was when Brother Holt took us to the Catholic graveyard that was there. And you know, Chile's a majority Catholic country, and it's so easy. It's supposedly Christian. And if you look on a database, you know, it's a Christian country. And it's easy to maybe think, oh, well, that's close enough, but close enough will not get anybody to heaven. And he took us to this graveyard, and we were there, and all around it there was these people just dead and in hell, trusting in their good works or something else to save them than Jesus Christ. And we're walking through, and every once in a while, those of you who were there remember, we would see like a little grave with like toys and stuffed animals around it, and that'd be like a little child, and you would think, well, at least that one's not in hell. But I remember standing there, and we were standing there with Brother Holt, and I remember him turning to Luke chapter 16, verse 19, and reading, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And we know the story. They both die. And the Bible says in verse 23 of the rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then the rich man, knowing he has no hope whatsoever anymore, begins to think back to something else. And he says in verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And as we stood there, Brother Holt said, these graves are full of people crying out for somebody to go tell their loved one not to come to this place of torment. And that broke my heart. But you know what? That's not just there in Santiago, Chile. That's right here in Gray, Tennessee. There are people in graves around us in this area crying out for somebody in our church to go tell their loved one not to come to this place of torment. That's China, that's New Guinea, Newfoundland, different places, Egypt. It's all over the world. And the thing is that God can use you to be that person. God can use you to witness to the one here, or he can use you possibly. Maybe you feel like, maybe, man, God, maybe, what if, about this missionary thing or this missions thing, you know, in my life? What if you're, is God calling me into this? You know what I'm saying? And I want to say he can use you in that as well. Sometimes we look and we think that missions, it's like missionaries are some great, you know, just like super Christian or whatever. And those of you that know me, watch me grow up and know that's not the case. And you know what I'm saying? And we are, missionaries are just normal people that God wants to use and do great things with their lives. And God wants to do something great with your life if you'll surrender it to him. But the greatest loss ever is the loss of the soul. And the sad thing about that is that, you know, when we lose anything else, at least it's over at some point. You know, we lose a big game or we lose this, that, or the other. At least we wake up the next day and we get on with our lives, you know. But the thing about somebody who loses their soul is that there's never an end to that. Is that that person who woke up in hell today, that's never ending for them. That person in Chile who woke up in hell today, that's never ending for them. That person in Tennessee who did that, it's never ending for them. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I urge you to come to him because today is the day of salvation. God can save you and will save you. But that's why it's so imperative, church, that we reach this world for Jesus Christ, because it is so real. Because these people really are truly people who are dying and going to hell without him. I lost a friend a few months ago who didn't even know that her time had come, and yet she died in a car wreck. And there, but her Tolson's going to the funeral of somebody who died in a car wreck. They had no idea that that time was coming to them. Fortunately, they were ready to go. But sad thing is, so many people are not. One thing I saw in Chile while we were there, the Pope came to Chile while I was there. And it came like 15 minutes from where we were staying, so like any good Christian, I decided to go see him. And so we went down there, and he was going to the temple, the Templo Maipú, and the Plaza Maipú and all that. They were having a youth rally. And so he was going to come down there because they think they're losing the youth, so he was going to come riding through there on his Pope Mobile, and he was going to go straight in there. So I dragged Butter Holt down there with me, and we all went, both of us and his sons, and we're standing down there, and as we're down there, they have these flags all over the place. They're waving them, and they've got these flags, and I took one off of a stick, and it says here, I didn't wave the thing, but so I took one off of a stick, and it's got Pope Francis's face on here, and it says, Bienvenido Papa Francisco, and it's saying, Welcome Pope Francis. And when he went driving by, just a human, they were all waving these flags, cheering for him, blowing kisses at him, different things like that. And all around this plaza where we were, there were banners lined up there on the plaza. And on the banner, it had his face, and it said in Spanish, My peace I give to you. And those of us who have read the Bible and know the Bible know that those are Jesus' words, and those are not that man's words. And that man can give them no peace. He came and left them as empty as when he came. And that's why we are going to tell them of the true Jesus, the one who's risen. When you see imagery there in Chile or any of those supposedly Christian countries like that, it's always Jesus on the cross or Jesus lying in his mother's arms helpless. But we who know Jesus know that he is risen and can truly save them from their sins. But this world does not know that. We may think, how ridiculous. When we were there the first time, we saw the Mary statue, and we saw where they had all these trinkets and things, and to a statue, no less. We think, how can you look at that and think that does anything for you? And that's all, but that's all they know. And but for the grace of God, we could be the ones living there waiting for somebody to come tell us the true Christ. We owe that not only to them. We owe it to Jesus, but we owe it to them as well. We owe it to those ones who are in hell tonight crying out for somebody. And I urge you, if you're in this auditorium and maybe you're considering missions, like I said, I urge you, give whatever doubts, whatever fears you have to Christ, because he can do great things with your life, and he will do great things with your life. I spoke to a young man, Felipe. He was 30 years old. And I said, Felipe, I was explaining salvation. And it's after the Pope came. And I said, it's by grace through faith. And I said, has anybody ever told you this? And he said, no, nobody's ever told me that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And this in a supposedly Christian country where they're supposed to know Jesus. And that's a sad thing. But we must get the gospel to them before it is too late. Our church is a wonderful church. I mean, We get to see so many churches, and we're in so many great churches, blessing, and we love it. But we're truly blessed in how missions-minded our church is, so to speak. Because this, what you see here tonight, is not necessarily common everywhere you go. And we are blessed, and maybe we sometimes get accustomed to it even, you know, like missions, we've all seen it, we've all heard it, and things like that. But I urge you to, Christian, well, first of all, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you don't know Christ as your Savior, He gave His life to save you, and He shed His own blood to save you from your sins. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, trusting only in His blood for salvation. But Christian, if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, Stephen, I'm kind of that person, you know, I'm kind of in that lukewarm state you were mentioning earlier. I mean, I'm not really bad, you know, by the world's standards or maybe even Christian standards, but I'm not. There is something in my heart that I'm holding back from God. There is something deep down in there. This may be like truly living all out for Jesus Christ, and I may be right here, but there's something I'm holding back from Him. And I urge you, Christian, for the sake of this lost world, the people that need the Lord, to give whatever that is to Jesus Christ. To let go of that thing. Because that thing means nothing in eternity. That thing, when we die, it won't matter. 100 years from now, all that will matter is what we did for Christ on this earth and what we gave to Him and the people we spoke to and the people we helped send and what we did when we sacrificed and we gave our lives for Jesus Christ. But I urge you, these are just two types of incredible loss, the loss of one's life for Christ's sake and giving all for Jesus Christ and the loss of the soul. And maybe you're here tonight and you know somebody who you're saved, but you know that they're not saved. And you, God wants to use you to reach that soul as well. I tell you, go to that person. We never know when is the last time we could witness to somebody and when is the last time we could have an impact. There are people, like I mentioned my friend earlier, who died. I can't go back and witness to that person any longer. There are people that we know that one day, the day will come when we cannot witness to that person any longer. But now is the day. Now is the appointed time that we can go reach this lost world for Christ. And I urge you, Christian, if you're not living all out for Jesus Christ, the sad thing is that one day when you come to the end of life and you get to heaven, what a sad day it will be to be there and nobody's there because of any impact you had in their life. I shudder to think of going to heaven one day and I'm there and it's just me. And it's me and I'm saved, but I have nothing in this world to show for it. Nothing that God gave me precious life day after day after day, and I did nothing with it but live for myself. And if you're here tonight and you're like Demas, the bad thing for Demas was that he can't change his testimony any longer. But the good thing for each of us is that if we are like Demas, we can begin to change that. We can begin to live all out for Jesus Christ, and I urge you to do that. Father, I come to you as Pastor comes. I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for, Lord, saving us. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. I thank you so much for them. And I just pray, Lord, that you will use each of them greatly and in a mighty way. Father, I pray you would do something so great through everybody who is here, dear Lord. I pray this. And save those who do not know you. In Jesus' name.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I'll just repeat basically what he said. If you're here without the Lord, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. In just a moment, when Brother Gary begins to sing, we want to ask you to come. Let us take a Bible and point you to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here tonight and you're like Demas. You're living for what's on planet Earth, really throwing your life away. Or maybe you are counting the cost and you're giving your life to the Lord. And God's just encouraging you to keep doing the same. However the Lord is dealing with you in this, let's be obedient, receptive hearers and do what the Lord would have us to do. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, would you take this and use it in a great way? And may your will be done, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Gary beginning to sing. If God is speaking to you, if He's encouraged you, whatever it is, I want you to leave your place and come. Would you do that, please? As Brother Gary sings, you come now, please.
All to Jesus I surrender, All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily live, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I like Stephen. Leslie, if you wouldn't mind, just to have a seat right here on the front pew. They'll be with us tomorrow, but they'll be going out with the children. And these are ours. You understand what I mean by that, right? I mean, it's a privilege to support any missionary that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But especially when God reaches down among us and takes somebody from our congregation. And this is a young man. I was thinking while I was up here how proud you all must be, how God's worked in both of your children. And I'm telling you, what a blessing for a mom and dad, no doubt about that. I think it'd be appropriate. I just felt the Holy Ghost of God just say, you need to pray over them. And this is an appropriate thing. I'd like for some of you, let me just narrow it down this way. I know your mom and dad would want to come, and that's fine. If you wouldn't mind, just come up here and have a seat with them. I'd like to ask our deacons and their wives who are in the room, if you'll come and gather around this couple here. Preacher Lashley, I hope it's okay for me to do this for you, sir. Brother Butch Abbott, I'd like for you to come as a missionary. Brother David and Samantha, any missionaries that are here, I want you to come and gather around them. And I'm going to have Preacher Lashley pray over you, okay? I'll guarantee you this. I'm honored to be your pastor. Don't ever get over that. I'm honored. I'm honored to be your pastor. But I'm going to take advantage of this man as long as he's here. I'm talking about Preacher Lashley, my Moses. If somebody says, Pastor Jody, if you could ask somebody to pray for you, who would it be? I don't think I'd have to think about it too much. You know what I mean? He's coming right there. He is. And I'm telling you, I want him to pray. And after this, we'll give you some instruction. But this is a special time here. Let's pray over him, shall we? Let's pray together.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for Stephen. Thank you for this good message that he preached from his heart to us. And Lord, it's an honor for this church to see this young man grow up in this church and now willing to go into another country as a herald of the Lord Jesus Christ and win people to Christ.
Amen.
And thank you for the good wife you gave him here. And I pray thy blessings upon them tonight. Lord, we know that as we go to preach, it's not by our power, our strength, but it's through the Holy Spirit. So I pray tonight that you would by your, right now, Lord, you'd fill him with the precious Holy Spirit. May he go down there and feel the presence of God and use him mightily in the field of Chile. And may many people one day in heaven rejoice that this young man and his dear wife came down and told him about Jesus. And Lord, it'll be worth it all one day if we're faithful to you and seek to win souls. And there in heaven, Lord, for we'll be forever and forever with the people of God to see some people that we won to Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this couple. Keep your hand upon them. Fill them with the Holy Ghost, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Just stay right there, please. We're not quite done yet. I appreciate David and Samantha working with our Spanish ministry here. And you stay with it. And we're honored that you both are here. Brother Butch Abbott, sir, God bless you for decades on the field. No doubt about that. These deacons and their wives, I'm honored to serve with you. And thank you for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the payoffs right here. And we thank the Lord for it. So thank you all for coming up to gather around him. I'd like for you all, all four of you, Take the rest of your family with you, okay? I'd like you to go ahead and make your way over to the gymnasium, okay? If you'll do that. In just a moment, Brother Bob's going to come and give us some closing instruction. That'll be a good thing. I want to give them a head start here, then I'll turn this over to Brother Bob here momentarily, okay? Let me let them get out of here. We're just about done.